In the early 60s, Americans were introduced to a new kind of crime threat. With cases beginning in Boston and California, police were investigating murders that had striking similarities. Newspapers and television stations would give nicknames to the killers and run them in the headlines, striking fear into the public about who would be next. Taking home security more seriously than ever before, people began doing whatever it would take to keep themselves safe at night. This included extra locks on every door. But with demand so high, could people get them installed before it was too late?
I'm Jeff Moss.
I'm Tim Coleman.
And I'm Tyler J. Thomas. With decades of combined locksmithing and door hardware experience, we will bring our unique perspective to this story. This is the Three Tumblers. Now, serial killer security goes DIY.
Nearly 70 years after Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes, women in Boston were being targeted by another killer. The murder of 55-year-old Anna Slessers shocked the small Back Bay neighborhood she lived in. She was found by her son, strangled to death by the belt from her bathrobe in the hallway. 2 weeks later, Mary Mullen was found murdered in an eerily similar fashion. The Boston Strangler was just getting started. Murder has existed since the earliest recorded instances of history. I mean, you look at the Bible with Cain and Abel, you look at other texts from the time, and murder has always been around. Now, with Jack the Ripper, we're seeing mass media involved in that for the first time. The public is aware of what's going on. It's not just some sort of back page blurb in the newspaper. It's front page headlines. And that's when we see the start of the media driving on these crimes. So in the 50s and 60s, when these killers are starting, we really have a fear because now we have, in addition to newspapers, television and radio news broadcasts.
With newspaper headlines reporting the series of murders, women across the Boston area feared for their safety. Once overcrowded dog pounds were now empty. Glass bottles, chairs, and other items were placed in front of doors at night. Baseball bats and tear gas were kept in arm's reach of beds, and hardware stores completely ran out of door locks. Anna's son had managed to force open the metal door to her home by only ramming himself into it twice. Before the series of killings began, most homes didn't have secondary locks installed. The Boston Strangler changed all of this.
By the 1960s, 90% of American households had a television set, and newspaper circulation was near its historic peak, with a daily circulation number hovering in or around 60 million. So not only do you have these frightening crimes occurring around the country, possibly around your town, you're reading and or hearing about it almost daily. So, as it does today, this is only going to influence how people respond. And people responded by protecting themselves, their loved ones, and their homes. Home security at the time was nothing like it is today. You know, modern alarm systems were still in their infancy. And unless you lived in a large city like Boston, Chicago, New York City, your doors were likely only secured by a basic knob set, which is easy to kick open. I mean, that's how Anna's son was able to open it with just two rams. And your windows were likely only secured with sash locks that could be opened with a butter knife. You could still go to local hardware stores to buy, you know, a deadbolt or something along those lines, but you didn't have a lot of choices, and the hardware stores weren't heavily stocked because there wasn't really demand at the time. Fast forward to now, there are entire aisles of door hardware at Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, and you have a ton of choices. But it's important to remember that what we have access to now wasn't available at the time.
In October of 1964, 32-year-old Albert DeSalvo was arrested for a sexual assault. While in jail, he confessed to the Boston Strangler murders. Although initially skeptical, police interviews revealed that DeSalvo knew details about the crimes that only the person committing them would have known. The women of Boston breathed a sigh of relief, knowing that the killer was behind bars. However, they made sure to keep their doors locked at night, in case there was anyone else out there intending evil.
Yeah, and I think over the years, the way the public views security has changed. I can remember growing up as a kid, the commercials with the club, and every store you went to, car washes, every place had them. You hear about people who never locked their front doors. Now that's unheard of. You know, this stuff is a lot more talked about. You know, I can remember, you know, the city have, you know, advertising, different suburbs advertising security surveys, you know, to have an officer come by and check your stuff. You know, in school, they, you know, teach about stranger danger and things like that. You know, security at one point probably wasn't talked about because people didn't need it and you could actually trust each other and bad things weren't happening. But unfortunately, times change, and our job as professionals is to make people aware of what's out there and what we can do to bring them peace of mind, to help them feel safe in their home, their business, wherever they are. You know, we do sell some personal safety devices as well, like pepper spray and stun guns and things like that. But, you know, security is the first word of our trade. You know, we're security professionals.
A few years later, nearly 3,000 miles away, a warped psyche fueled by drugs led Charles Manson to create a cult of followers in Los Angeles. When they weren't stalking celebrities to recruit, members of the Manson family would randomly break into the houses of random people just to steal and move their stuff around. Eventually, they found that breaking into houses was easy, so they moved on to more serious crimes. In August of 1969, four of Manson's followers broke into the house at 10,050 CeeLo Drive in LA and murdered five people, including actress Sharon Tate.
So yeah, I mean, these guys were pretty much targeting famous people that they knew would have something valuable, but they did sometimes break into random homes just for fun, bits and giggles, if you will. You know, a lot of crimes are just opportunity. You hear about people, you know, if you leave your door unlocked, somebody's going to try the door. They walk by, they try your car door, it's locked, they keep going. They go to the next house, the car's unlocked, they're going to take what they want. You know, they didn't always pick their victims, I guess would be the correct phrase. You know, they, if they saw something they wanted, they would take it.
Citizens in California didn't just have to worry about the Manson family. In the San Francisco area, the person known as the Zodiac Killer had people on high alert. Although this murderer didn't break into people's houses, no one was willing to take the risk of leaving their doors unlocked. At this point, the golden age of serial killers was well underway. I mean, even if some of these serial killers didn't break into houses to get to their victims, it was still a sweeping phenomenon across the country. And again, with the media, it got hyped out to everybody. Now, the days of people, again, relying on just a single doorknob on their doors to keep them safe at night, that was gone. All of that sense of security was shattered at this point, and it would only get worse.
Serial killers held the fear of the public strong into the 70s.
No one was sleeping easy with the likes of Richard Chase, the Vampire of Sacramento, on the loose. In addition to dog adoptions from pounds, sales of baseball bats and guns also went through the roof. But local hardware stores and locksmiths came under strong demand for increases in home security. New modern-style deadbolts offered stronger protection against jimmying and kicking from those intending evil.
This is a big reason why deadbolts are standard on homes and apartments these days. Deadbolt design had changed by this point to allow for quick and easy installations. You no longer had to mortise huge pockets out of the door or hope your door and frame could accommodate whatever you were trying to install. And manufacturers touted this on their product packaging and advertisement. Their modern cylindrical deadbolts basically required two holes in the door, one in the frame, a little bit of chiseling, and as few as six screws. On top of that, when installed correctly, and when the strike is anchored to the stud behind the frame, you had solid protection against destructive entry attempts. They're not entry-proof, but they're destructive entry-resistant. Jimmy-proof locks, which basically had been around for decades at this point, started to see a surge in sales around this time for the same reasons. And for those that either couldn't install this hardware or didn't feel comfortable doing so, you've got an entire industry of mobile tradesmen called locksmiths willing and able to help you out.
Decades before reliable battery-powered hand tools, drills were either corded electric or human-powered. Installing locks of the modern cylindrical design required drilling a 2 1/8-inch diameter hole through the door and a 1-inch hole crosswise to fit the deadbolt assembly. Drilling took time and effort, and therefore cost customers more money.
Yeah, so growing up in the early 90s to 2000s, all three of us, you know, have seen the progression of tools. Battery-powered tools are 99% standard these days. But back then, you had to drag a cord around with a drill that wasn't super powerful. Guys were probably still using a bit brace sometimes if they had to. Stuff took a lot longer and was probably less precise with the drilling, although you can get very precise with a chisel and when you know what you're doing. You know, installing a deadbolt that could take a half hour now would take a lot longer. You might have to have an inverter in your truck to plug a long cord in, borrow power from the person's house. You know, we are spoiled with all of our various power tools. You know, the innovations that keep coming with faster, stronger batteries, lighter tools. You know, the principles are still the same, you know, of installing, but you can get the job done quicker and neater. It would be interesting to see, you know, a toolkit from way back when. I've read some articles about, you know, like really like the 30s and 40s, you know, where they were making parts by hand. But, you know, if you were a locksmith in the 70s, installing a deadbolt that we do pretty often now would take you all day, but you were probably swearing at the end of it.
Killers like Stephen Wayne Anderson and Joseph James DeAngelo, later known as the Golden State Killer, were committing crimes in people's homes, and the media was covering it all. Locks weren't the only items in demand. Stronger doors became selling points as well. The Golden State Killer was captured in just a few years ago in the late 20-teens, but one of his modus operandi was to break into houses, and he tortured people and eventually killed them. So securing your house couldn't rely just on the lock, because now you need something that can resist that forceful attack. Like we said, you need to have a strong strike that the deadbolt goes into. You need to have good installation that doesn't hollow out the door or weaken the structure of the door. And also, you can have a new door that is made out of newer materials available at this time, like metal-wrapped doors, doors that are fiberglass reinforced. That helps strengthen the entire opening to your home, because doors and locks are what keep the openings secure.
And when you can have stronger, better materials in place, that increases your safety and your security. In the mid-80s, Richard Ramirez was terrorizing and murdering women across Los Angeles by breaking into their houses at night. Sometimes ransacking and stealing property, other times stealing nothing but a person's life. Any type of lull in the public's complacency was quickly dispelled, and yet again, animal shelters were empty of dogs, stores ran out of baseball bats, and locksmiths were installing deadbolts on people's houses.
We see this in a multitude of events and things in life. Something bad happens, people are hypervigilant for a while, but then eventually they get complacent and they let their guard down. Not to get completely off tangent, but last week I was at an active shooter training at the synagogue, and you know, one of the scenarios was, you know, you walk into the room and you see a door propped open because it's hot. What do you do? Well, I would close the door, tell somebody, hey, that door was propped open, there's an HVAC issue. Because that door being propped open, while if it was at your house or something like that, it's probably kind of innocuous and not a big deal. But in a place like that where there's hundreds of people, that could be bad. So, you know, people, you know, some of the uproar and things is manufactured, and you see a big demand for certain things after crimes for a while, selling more of a certain product, when there's smash and grabs and things like that in retail stores, they're going to sell a lot of cases and cages for their shelves for a while, but then eventually that's going to be done and all their shaving cream and razors are going to be locked up. So you're probably not going to sell a bunch more of that in a year because all the stores have what they need. But if somebody starts stealing something else, then you're going to see an uptick in, okay, how do we secure this? How do we prevent this from happening? And sometimes, unfortunately, it's a people problem, not a lock problem. I like to use that line often. Giving somebody a master key is a pop-out if they don't need it, you know, because of the simple invention of a key ring. You can carry two or three individuals.
In 1985, LA had one of the worst heat waves on record, with nighttime lows in the upper 70s and daytime highs over 102 degrees Fahrenheit. People had the awful choice of either staying cool at night or staying safe. Either way, life was miserable. So, homes in Southern California typically don't have the air conditioning systems that we think of here on the East Coast. They have a more decentralized design, larger windows, larger doors, tile floors, stone exteriors, stucco exteriors, etc. And they're designed to basically vent heat during the day, and the tile floors are designed to absorb heat at night. So that keeps the residents comfortable. But during this heat wave in 1985, the temperatures were just so extreme that you couldn't rely on that. You can't just go and retrofit your entire house with an HVAC system because of a heat wave in the mid-80s for a myriad of reasons. So these people are suffering at night thinking, okay, do I sweat myself to death or do I actually get killed? You know, during the really hot summers, I've seen this as a police officer. When the temperatures go up in the summer, so does crime. It doesn't matter. And especially at nighttime during the summers, all kinds of violent crimes and serious crimes occur. I know there have been scientific studies on it, but just with your street smarts, you can tell summertime at night is a dangerous time.
Although the West Coast had more than its fair share of serial killers that violated people's most precious locations, the phenomenon was spread across the country. James Anthony Frederick broke into several houses across Florida in the early 90s and brutally killed three victims. But the start of this decade brought about an interesting change with crime across the entire country.
This sudden decline in crime, and its continuous decline thereafter, is probably one of the most fascinating phenomena in American history, because we don't have a definitive reason. Experts and researchers have several theories, including things like, you know, changes to policing strategies, an increase in the number of police, an increase in the number of incarcerations. But there are also unconventional theories, things like removing leaded additives from gasoline or legalizing abortion, Roe v. Wade. Whatever the reason or reasons, crime rates, especially violent crime rates, started dropping across the country. And except for a few slight increases now and then, the rates are still dropping today. For example, in the late 80s, early 90s, they had reported violent crime rates of around 725 per 100,000 persons. As of 2022, it was around 377 per 100,000. So, aberrations here and there, but on a whole, crime's basically been halved since the late 1980s, early 1990s.
With the capture of the likes of Ted Bundy, Richard Evanitz, and Terry Rasmussen, people were still not letting their guards down. Technology is improving to help them help themselves. Power tools are becoming more affordable, and battery-operated models are reliable. With big box stores springing up around the country, folks have more access to the means of securing their homes more than ever.
So, as we said before, power tools are much, much better today. Battery operated, if you took a Makita drill from the 90s and you can put a picture of the old ones that used the stick battery, you know, for what it was back then, it was nice. It's all you know. When you start seeing the newer stuff and newer and better, and of course it's going to make it easier. You can buy it, the average consumer can buy a cordless drill at Walmart or Harbor Freight, a lot of different places. It's not professional quality, but to install a couple doorknobs, it'd probably be okay. You can buy a kit with the jig and the hole saws and, you know, a halfway decent template and things for, you know, $30. Some people may just use the paper that comes in the lock. I wouldn't recommend it for the first one. They've certainly made it easier. Our locks don't have fancy flashy packaging because we're installing them, taking it out of the box. We're not selling them on display, but the average consumer going into a store is inundated with 100 different things, and you know, they're trying to make it look accommodating.
Major retail chains are not the only ones to take notice of consumer and media trends over the past couple decades. Lock manufacturers have also introduced marketing direct to the consumer. Coupled with standardized installation specs, anyone can become their own personal lock installer.
Lock and door hardware manufacturers realized around this time that the DIY residential market was a lucrative one. As I said earlier, I mean, that's why they have entire aisles at every hardware store dedicated to it. They start pushing to have their products in every store across the United States. A few even invest heavily into commercials and advertisements. You know, Schlage had the Hard to Stop a Schlage campaign for many years. Master Lock was perhaps the most well-known to do it. Their commercial showing one of their padlocks surviving a 44 Magnum bullet ran for years, and they had annual commercials during the Super Bowl starting in 1974. It didn't stop there, though. It continues to this day, mostly via companies like SimpliSafe and Ring, people selling, you know, these DIY alarm systems. The standardized and simple installations, no matter if it's a lock or an alarm system, were equally pivotal to the advertisements. The best DIY projects and hardware are the ones that any person can purchase and install. All the manufacturers figured it out.
Even though consumers now have the tools and hardware to improve basic security in their homes, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the knowledge to do so. In 2019, there were an average 125 break-ins per hour in the U.S., leaving even the best do-it-yourselfers asking, is this enough to protect against the next serial killer in my neighborhood?
Executive producer is Tyler J. Thomas. Technical producer is Jeff Moss. Writer and editor is Tim Coleman.
For source material, see our website, 3tumblrs.com. Get this episode and others wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a 3tumblrs production. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.